Last week we started a series entitled How to Be Close to God. And just for a brief review, for those of you who couldn't be here last week or this is your first time here, we started out with the aspect of humility. It was entitled A State of the Heart. If you want to be close to God, the first requirement is that you have a humble, broken spirit. And we talked about what that meant. Humility simply means that we have a dependence on God, a deep understanding that we know I need God's help in my life. I share with you the paradox, really, of life and God. God's ways are so different than ours. His ways are as high as the heavens above the earth. His ways are higher than ours. They're different. We raise our children, our parents raised us, to become independent. God deliberately tries to raise us as His children to become dependent. Totally opposite of what we see in society and what we see in the world. God wants us to have a greater and greater dependence upon Him. A greater and greater understanding that we need Him in our life. In fact, the true sign of maturity in your life, in your relationship with God, is your daily recognition that I need God in my life today. Another word for humility is contrite. It means bruised in spirit. Actually means crushed. It means sensitive to God. Sensitive to His touch. Sensitive to His leading. And I share with you that there's really two ways that we can grow in humility. One is willingly. And says the second is unwillingly. One way or the other, God's going to try to humble you because He wants to have a relationship with you. And He can only be close to the individual who is humble. I share with you in Isaiah where God says this, to this person I will look. This is the person I will have regard for and I will be intimate with. To him who is humble and contrite of heart and who trembles at my word. God wants intimacy with us. It's sort of like having a blocked artery to your heart. And you have to go in the doctor and have it worked on or basically reamed out. God will find a way to unblock the artery to your heart so that His blessing can flow in your life. Because the Bible tells us God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Secondly, we can just simply willingly admit to God, God, I need Your help. I need Your help today. Help me, Lord. Get involved in my life. Bless what I do. It's so easy for us when we go through the daily routines of life all of the time. Before you know it, we're never asking God to help us. We're never reaching out to Him. We get kind of uppity and we don't even realize it. We're not aware that we must be totally dependent and that we are totally dependent upon God and on His help, whether we realize it or not. So if you want to be close to God, you must be willing to develop humility in your life. You must be willing to ask the Lord, Lord, break my heart and give me a soft, pliable, moldable heart. But the second aspect is what we're going to talk about today, and the title of it is You Need New Eyes. I want to ask you for a moment, if you had the opportunity and you had the financial ability, how much would you pay to go see the Lakers and Bulls play today? What would some of you give to sit right down on the floor, right behind the bench of either team and watch them play? How many of us would pay gladly $25 or $30 to go see Whitney Houston when she was in town? Or when she comes next time? Or let's talk about boxing, my favorite sport. I'd give anything to be ringside at the Holyfield Tyson Heavyweight Championship fight. Except my soul, of course, my children, my wife, my body. But if I could afford it, I'd find a way to go see it. It would be the event of the century. Or think of anything else. What would you give to see it? What would you give to see the president if he came to town? Or what would you have given to see Gorbachev and been invited to a private luncheon? How would you have liked him to come to your farm or to your home? Now I'm sure some, I haven't hit on maybe the people you like, but there's probably someone in this room that there's someone out there you really like and look up to and you would give anything just to be in their presence. I happened to have the television on after I got home Friday night. It was late. I was watching the news. And all of a sudden, In Concert came on. Now, when I was young, in the olden days, they had Don Kirshner's In Concert on Friday nights. So I watched for a little while, and it was Poison and Slaughter. It was Heavy Metal Night on In Concert. And that stadium was jam-packed with these people. They were raving. They were reaching up on the stage just trying to touch somebody. They were jumping for the picks that they'd throw from the guitar. And it was unbelievable. I started to drift back when I was younger. Yeah, I used to be the same way. Now I think in those terms towards other things, other people. All of us would probably give something very great to be with someone great for just a little while that we admire. Now let me ask you this. What would you give to go see God? What would you pay to go see God? There's a big full-page ad in the paper that says, God is coming to Target Center. Friday, June 12th. And God is going to be there. He walks on water. He turns water into wine. And anything that's wrong with you, He'll make it well. Come and see God. Well, I'm convinced, frankly, no one would go. Hardly at all. Because we live in such a skeptical age. And besides, who cares about God anyway? Who cares about God? You know, you think about it. And I thought to myself, I wonder if people would really show up. If anyone would even be interested. We live in such a skeptical age. And yet, you know, imagine if He really, really was going to be there. Imagine if really seriously Christ was going to be there. What would you give? How much would you pay? How much energy would you put forth? Man, you look at these people who belong to religions that have no God at all, and they make pilgrimage, 1,000-mile pilgrimages on a camel just to go kiss some holy shrine. What would you give to see God? What would you give to see Christ? I'm going to share something with you this morning. Quite frankly, you don't have to give anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to give anything. You can have living contact, daily contact with God every day of your life. But there is a requirement. There is a requirement. I remember when I was in the fifth grade. For some reason, I wasn't doing very well in school. My parents wondered why. And not to mention that I was never that bright in school, nor was I that interested in school. But they thought it must be some other reason. So they had my eyes checked. And lo and behold, I needed glasses. Now I'm going to tell you, to a fifth grader, that's the most tragic thing that ever happened to a person, is to have to wear glasses. Some of you in this room are supposed to be wearing them right now, and you're not. Because you won't humble yourself and put on your glasses and admit that you're a frail human being. See, it's our pride. But you see, I have a problem. If I don't wear my glasses, I crash and burn. I can't drive. If I don't wear my glasses, I can't see you. Who knows, that might be a good thing. I don't know. If I don't wear my glasses, I can't see hardly anything. I'm kind of blind. And I'll never forget when I first got over that hump and I put on my glasses. And it was a whole new world to me. It's a whole new world. I could see the blackboard. I could see the cute girls in the room. I could see the ball coming at me. I could see the hoop when I shot. It changed my whole world. That one act of faith, of deciding I need to reach out and take those glasses and put them on, opened up a whole new world to me. You cannot see God, nor can you be close to God, unless you are willing to see through the eyes of faith. If you're waiting around to reach out and touch God, if you're waiting around for God to do some little magic show for you, my friends, the show is over. He did that 2,000 years ago. He's not going to come down here and do a little magic show for you. God feels in His mind that He's given us enough evidence to believe that He exists. In fact, the Bible tells us this in Hebrews, that he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you don't please God, my friend, you don't get near God. It takes faith. And faith is a choice of our will. It's a choice to decide, God, I'm going to believe in You. I want to talk about this for a moment because a lot of people are always waiting for logical proof. They want to be able to reason God, put God in a test tube, and then go, okay, yes, God is real. I have proved it. Now I want to share some things with you about God. Some things that God has given to you that are right under your nose that we really don't even recognize. I often have people say to me, Mark, what about the heathen in Africa? I want to talk about the heathen in Africa. You know, we live in this Christian country, but what about the heathen in Africa? I'm going to tell you something about the heathen in Africa. The heathen in Africa are better off than the heathen in America. And I'll tell you why. First of all, today, Africa sends more missionaries to the United States than we send to Africa. Secondly, in Africa, in those dark tribes wherever, at least they have the brains to know that there must be some kind of a God, so they carve something out of wood and stone. Now, we call that uncivilized. But at least they recognize there is some power up there, so they make a little stone and they bow down to it. Some people rub Buddha's belly for good luck. Other people pray to these dragons. But in America, we look at all that's around us and we say, nobody did it. It just happened. Just all came into being through this mystical force. And it just, there it is. The mountains, the trees, the birds. I want to tell you something, my friend. We're the epitome of ignorance in this country. In fact, we pay people to teach our kids this stuff. We pay people to tell us there is no God. And all that we see just happened. And you know what God says about all that He did? God says this in the book of Romans. He says that God's divine attributes, in other words, what God is really like and His incredible power, have been clearly seen and understood by what He has made so that men are without excuse. So you may stand up there someday to God and say, God, I didn't know. And He'll look you back in the eye and say, no excuses, my friend. Get out of my presence. Wait a minute, God, wait a minute. Hey, man, you had eyes. You saw the rocks. You saw your mother. You saw your brother. You saw the trees. You saw the mountains. All of those things were overwhelming evidence that I exist and that I am real. And you spent your whole life denying me. Now, let me show you how schizophrenic we are, all right, as people. If you see this big ad in the paper and it comes every day for 3 months and it says, Stevie Wonder is coming to Target Center. $25, put it on your Visa. Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder. You know what you're going to do if you're a Stevie Wonder fan? You're going to go put it on your Visa card. By faith. You don't know if he's coming to Target Center. You haven't seen him at Target Center. You just read it in a newspaper. And you go put your Visa number on the line. And 3 months later, at that appointed date, you cancel everything in your schedule. And you go to the Target Center because Stevie's going to be there. Well, you've seen him on TV. You bought his album, so you know he exists. Had to be someone who sang that stuff. We don't call it the Invisible Man. Come and see the invisible musician. Somebody did it. And you show up, you see it. Or let's take another example of faith in everyday life. Elevators. Elevators. Now, I'm talking about elevators. You ever been stuck in an elevator? I've been stuck in an elevator once with four other guys. And it was a rugged experience, I want to tell you. It was at the U of M, which is the last place I want to be stuck in an elevator. And was out on the parking ramp, and we rang the buzzer and rang the buzzer. John was in there with me, the guy doing the scripture reading. And he was engaged at the time. And he and his wife thought they'd never see each other again. She was right outside the doors. And they were trying to crack the door just to touch each other's hands. We thought we were going to suffocate in there and die. We were trying to think who we'd eat first, you know, so we could survive. So it was after that I decided to lose some weight. So if that ever happened again, I wouldn't be the first choice. And we're banging on the walls and we're trying to get out of there, you know. But you know, after that, I've gone into elevators. I've been into them many times since. And every time you go in an elevator, the doors open and you step off the solid ground and you step into this box and the doors close. And you don't know if the cables are going to break. You don't know if you're going to get stuck there. You don't know if there's terrorists above the top of the vent. Like you see in the movies. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't even think about it. You just walk in the elevator, lump, push the number. Have you ever been in the IDS tower in the elevator? Whoom, to the top. It's kind of fun when you're going down to jump up and then see, you know, and then it falls while you're jumping and it's a long way down. Well, you'll have to go try it sometime. It's not for the faint of heart, let me tell you. That's faith. That's faith. We apply faith to everything. You apply faith every time you get in your car and drive on these freeways. Every morning, a Monday morning, tomorrow morning, when you get up for work, you get into your car. I want you to think about this. You're one little person in one little car, and there are approximately 100,000 other cars that you're driving by, or however many. Maybe it's in the millions. I don't know. But it's a lot. And you're at the mercy of all those drivers. What if some turkey cuts you off in the lane? That's faith. You think you're that good of a driver that if someone decides they've had a few too many drinks, or they're gonna sideswipe you, you're gonna get out of the way? And you're spacing on, maybe your favorite song's on, and you're just all of a sudden, the next thing you know, someone's swerving in front of you. You apply faith every day in your life, my friends. And if you want to get close to God, you must be willing to step out on the limb of faith. Because you know something? It is a limb. But it's a strong limb, and it's a sturdy limb, and it's a sure limb. Because God is a sure bet. Life is not. Elevators are not. The highway is not. Your job is not. College is not. You went to college in the hopes of having a great job, and some of you have been laid off. Some of you got out, couldn't find a job. But all your advisors said, it's a good field. It's going to be a good field. The parameters of life changed. It's no longer a good field. You went in good faith and got burned. You never get burned with God. Never. God is absolutely reliable. Now let's talk about God for a minute. I was out the other day. It's just amazing to me, God's power. The more I reflect on it, the older I get, the more I'm astounded by God. And I was out the other day, I was mowing my backyard. I was mowing the whole yard, actually, and I got to the backyard. And after a while, after I'd mowed, I was spending some time in my freshly mowed lawn with the Lord. And I was walking back and forth in the yard and praying and looking at the pine trees. And I walked to this tree, and there was this little nest, this three little robins sitting in it, these little birds. They're ugly when they're born. They're just so ugly, you know. And then they grow up and they fill out and they get feathers and they look really nice. And they're sitting in this nest. And I went there today, this morning before I came, and they've just almost outgrown the nest. They're just getting big and pretty soon they'll fly away. And I was thinking about this with God. I was thinking, God, you're so incredible. You know, you make these birds, you make a million different species of flowers. You make millions of species of animals. I mean, you're just unbelievable. You know, you have every star named. The Bible says God has every star named and He calls them by name. And here, Lord, I was mowing this morning and I ran over two birds. They were dead. Dead birds. And the feathers went everywhere. They were dried up, decomposed. And as I was walking looking at those little birds, I thought to myself, and I remembered the words of Jesus, when Jesus said to His disciples, He said, oh, you have little faith, why do you worry about tomorrow? Why do you have any anxieties at all? Don't you know that I have the very hairs of your head numbered? Don't you know that you are of much more value than a sparrow, and yet not one sparrow falls to the ground, but your heavenly Father knows it? And I thought to myself, God knows every dead bird that fell in every yard in the whole state of Minnesota this morning. And God knows every dead bird that's going to fall in every yard around the world this evening. That's God. God knows it. He knows it before it's going to happen. And He watches over all those little sparrows and all those robins. In fact, the lesson He gave His disciples was, oh, you of little faith, why are you worrying? Instead, why don't you trust Me? The little lilies of the field are clothed better than Solomon in all of his splendor. If he was alive today, he would have said probably, you see the lilies of the field? Donald Trump in all of his glory does not clothe himself like one of these. And yet they don't spin or toil. They trust their Heavenly Father. The sparrows, He said, the birds, they don't store up in barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. He knows what they need. Where is your faith, He was saying to the disciples? Where is your faith in God? We say we believe in God. Where is our faith? You want to be close to God? Where is your faith? I want to share this with you. You cannot develop faith in your life unless you're willing to obey God. James tells us in the book of James that faith without works is dead. It is non-existent. If you don't do something about your faith, if you don't step out on a limb, you have no faith. No faith at all. For example, if Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and you say you have faith, then why aren't you giving? If Jesus said that if a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, unless it does, it remains alone, but when it falls to the ground, it bears much fruit. And so he said to us, whoever of you will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will save it. How come you're not losing your life for other people? If you have faith. If you have faith. If you have faith, why are you worried? If you have faith, why are you anxious? If you're applying faith in your life. It's impossible to get close to God unless we are growing in our faith. And we grow really in a couple of ways. Number one, by reading our Bible. Your faith is not going to grow unless you expand your understanding of God. Your faith is not going to grow unless you expand your understanding of Christ. And I'm going to pause on this for a moment and share this with you. Most of us in this room, and if you took a survey in this state, most people would say, I believe in God. I believe in God. Yes, I believe in God. It's kind of like, well, you know, believe in the God of your choice. But let me ask you this. Do you believe in Christ? Because if you don't believe in Christ, you don't believe in God. If you don't have faith in Christ, you do not have faith in God. Because Jesus said He is the way to God, and the only way you get to God is through Him. It's really funny when I'm in conversations with people, we can talk about God, God, it's kind of really cool, but you bring up Jesus' name and watch what happens. The conversation shuts down, or people start to squirm, or they think you're a radical fanatic. You know why, my friends? Because even the demons believe in God and shudder. But they don't acknowledge Christ for who He is. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Savior of your life. Apart from faith in Christ, you have no faith in God. And so you must put faith in Christ. You must come to know Christ and grow in your relationship with Christ in order to come to know God. Because He is God, but you only get to God through Him. And it's essential in our lives that we're applying faith to our daily living. I remember a few years ago, it's been more than a few years ago, been about 7 years ago, my wife and I had two children at the time, and we were doing all we could not to have a third at that time in life. We wanted to have more children, but not at that moment. And I'll never forget, I was at work one day, and my wife called me, said, Mark, are you sitting down? I said, okay, I'm sitting down. She says, I'm pregnant. I said, you can't be pregnant. I'm pregnant. I said, how did this happen? I don't know how this happened. I mean, some please tell me how this happened. How in the world did you get pregnant? So it's going through my mind. I said, well, I guess what we tried didn't work. I don't know. So I remember going home that day. Really, really knocked me off my feet. It was very, very tough. And I remember going down the woods where we lived. God, you did this. Bible says you opened and closed the womb. You did this, God. I didn't have any part of this. You know we were trying not to have this happen. You caused this to happen, God. I got a bone to pick with you. This is really bad timing, Lord. You know, we didn't have insurance. Things were really rough at this particular time. And I remember wrestling with God. Wrestling with God, wanting Him to give me all the answers as to why this happened. You know what the answer was? After 3 days of sleepless nights, tossing and turning stomach, I finally had to say, Lord, You know what You're doing with my life. And so I trust You. And I put my faith in You. You say that You cause all things to work together for good to those who love You. And if this means I have to work 2 more years at my other job, then that's fine. Because my times really are in Your hands. The answer to doubt is faith. The answer to your quest is faith. You can leave this room today and you can go on searching in your life and searching and searching and searching. But my friend, why waste the time, the money, and the energy when the answer is Christ. When the answer is faith in Christ. You may be sitting here today and you know Christ. And your life may not be what you want it to be. You know why? Because you're not applying fresh faith in your daily living with God. You see, you can't go on yesterday's faith. You want to know something interesting about faith? It's like manna in the Old Testament. When God gave manna to the Israelis, He told them, only take enough for each day. Well, some people figured, hey, I want to think ahead. I better plan ahead, better take a little extra. And they did, and the next morning they woke up and it was crawling with worms and it stunk. That's what happens, my friends, with stale faith. Friday night, we had the service. God really blessed. It was a wonderful time. And this morning, the same thing I do before every service, I'm spending that time with God at home in private praying. And I reminded God, you know, Lord, I realize I can't go on yesterday's blessing. You need to work today. I need You to work today through what's going to be said. I need Your power today. I need Your grace today. And most of us try to spend our lives living on the faith of a year ago, on the faith of 2 years ago, and we're not growing. We've stagnated in our faith. You must start taking fresh steps of faith in your life. And the way you do that is by opening your Bible and start applying your life to things you never did before. You start obeying things. If God says love your husband, then love your husband. If God says love your wife, then love your wife. If God says love your neighbor, then love your neighbor, even if it hurts. That takes faith. And you will never be close to God unless you are willing to obey Him. I can tell you this from experience. For the last 16 years in my life, I have put my faith on the line with God. And I remember as a young man, my father telling me, Mark, it's so easy for you to say now because you're not married. It's easy to trust God when you're single. Okay, I'll get married one day. And then we'll see what you have to say. So I got married. Mark, it's easy to trust God when you got a wife. I mean, just you and her. You could pick up and move wherever you wanted to move. And okay, a skeptic. So we had our first child. Mark, it's easy to trust God with one child. I mean, this is only one. That isn't much. Okay, I kept trusting God. And we had two. Said the same thing. Then we had three, and it wasn't so frequent. And then we had four, and he shut up. Because he knows, and he's told me since, that my life is out on a limb. And God has never let us down yet in 16 years. In the 12 years I've been married and the 4 children that we've had, God has been faithful to us every day of our life. Every day of our life. And yet we spend our lives, don't we, consumed with retirement, where we're going to spend tomorrow, how we're going to do tomorrow. In fact, you know what Jesus said characterizes the pagan's life? This is the words of Jesus, and he used this. He said, don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you're going to wear. For all these things the pagans run after. But let it not be so with you. With you, seek first my business, seek first faith, and all these things will be added to you. He meant that. He meant that. Doesn't mean we don't have a job. Doesn't mean we don't go out and buy clothes. They're not just going to fall through the roof. But God wants us to have a vibrant, growing faith walk with Him. He wants us to be faith walking people. He wants us to see with the eyes of faith. As Paul said, I walk not by sight, but by faith. By faith. And you'll see God do some amazing things. If you are willing to humble yourself and put on the glasses of faith, you'll be amazed at what you see. I'm always amazed at the people who I've worked with here since they started coming to Evergreen. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. One day, they came to know the Lord. And it happens every time. Wow! I can't believe the difference. I just view life differently. Yeah, you put on the glasses, didn't you? That's what we've been talking about ever since you came. Put on the glasses. Put on the eyes of faith. And your life will change. God, because then you will see God. But if you're waiting for God to do something mystical, He won't. I just want to again reemphasize this to you. As you go about your day today and tomorrow, I'd like you to reflect on God. And I'd like you, I dare you, to really start looking at the things around you and then convince yourself that there is no real creative God. I took my son to the zoo the other day, and we were watching Sparky the Seal. And I had shared this earlier this week, actually not knowing this exactly. I had shared this because I had read it somewhere. And this guy was talking about seals and whales. And he said, in fact, whales have been observed, and they've, whatever they do, they track them, at dives as great as 7,000 feet beneath the ocean. And then he said this, dives so deep that if our submarines tried it, it would crush them. Now I want to ask you something, my friend. A whale that 100 years ago, men sat in a little rowboat and killed with a harpoon, can dive deeper than the submarine of our made of however think inch steel. If you don't believe there's a God, I really want to seriously challenge you as to how in the world you could believe such a thing. I have a rock in my pocket I carry around with me all the time. It's the most beautiful rock. I love rocks. And it's one of the most beautiful rocks I've ever seen in my life. And every time I look at this rock, it was amazing to me as I stopped to think the other day looking at this. We will pay good money to have the Minnesota Institute of Arts where we can go look at paint splattered on canvas by human beings. And yet I can take this rock, and there's not a piece of pottery in the world that looks like this rock, and God made it just by speaking it into being. Yet we'll acknowledge the artist, but deny God. Does that make any sense to you? If I was a psychologist, I'd call you all paranoid schizophrenic. You see, there is a God. Christ is that God. And the Bible tells us that through Him the world was made. And so here's what I'm trying to emphasize to you. When you put your trust in God, it's not a blind leap, my friend. It's the only logical, rational thing to do. I have never felt, in a sense, that I'm out on a limb when I put my faith in God's promises. I've always felt you're the one who's out on the limb, and I'm on the rock. Or I don't mean that you not put faith in God. All I'm saying is those who don't, they're the ones who are in the precarious position, not us. We're on the solid rock, and there is no sinking with Jesus. Next week, I'm going to talk about the last necessary element for being close to God. You must be humble. You must have faith. But without next week, there is no getting close to God. It relates to perfection. And if you wonder how that's going to take place in your life, how that could possibly be, I want to invite you back next week to find out. Because by the end, with these three elements, you can have a permanent, lasting closeness with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning.